today's passage, we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. I'll read it. Listen now to the word of God. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And we'll go into today's message. I want to follow Jesus. Now, hopefully you've all been following the news. You've all been kind of caught up on current events. But you know, last week we addressed some of the discussion about who our neighbor is, with hopes of getting the Church of God to realize that people who look different from us, people that we might not normally have considered our neighbors, are indeed our neighbors, that it is indeed part of the Christian life. The reminder of last week's sermon being the story of the Good Samaritan was brought about because the person asked, the original question was, how do I inherit eternal life? It wasn't just, you know, what can I do to enhance my Christianity? Or, you know, like stuff that we would think in terms of how, you know, what would be a nice bonus to my life? I know the question that was originally asked was, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And it was, of course, to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And of course, to love your neighbor as yourself. And the next follow-up question was, then who is my neighbor? And Jesus doesn't directly answer that question, but he goes into the story of the Good Samaritan. And one of the things that I at least insinuated last week was we tend to walk on the other side of the road because we don't see the person that's on the side of the road as our brother, as our neighbor, as someone that we care about. And so for a long time, the Church of God might stand for certain principles, but they wouldn't stand with people who are oppressed, who are persecuted, potentially because we never saw them as our neighbor. I'm giving you a little bit of a recap because I didn't record last week's sermon. And so in case, you know, you're wondering where the flow of these messages are coming from, that's what I preached about last week, that it requires us to put that broken person up on our own donkey. You know, that we will walk, we will exert the effort. It requires us to put in our own resources, to put in our 2 denarii, so that person can be taken care of in the end, so that that person can heal. And then to say, you know, any follow-up costs, I will bear that as well. To not just say, I did a good deed, you know, that's enough. But to really say, I will see this through. You know, I'll see this through till this person, till this people group maybe, can be restored, can be healed. And so I felt very strongly about it. I feel like it's something that the church needs to start participating in, that we need to be active in looking out for our neighbors, to see the world around us as our neighbor, to reach out to them, to put our faith into action, to put our resources on the line, our time, our effort, our voices. These are things that we need to do in order to be considered the body of Christ in this world. But there's one thing that I lament from all this, from this movement, and from all the things that I'm seeing in the news, through the media. It's something that I've shared with some of my friends and some of the people around me. But when I see the, you know, Black Lives Matter movement, and when I see some of the protests in response to the unjust murders of people in the African-American community, one of the things that I wish for, one of the things that I think about, is I wish that there was a strong leader for the cause. I wish that there was someone that I could look to and turn to and be like, you know, that person really gets it. And that person's teachings, that person's life, that person, the way that they are going about this protest and the way that they approach activism is really powerful. And again, I shared this during the Friday meeting, our fellowship meeting. But the person that I look to in history for that kind of leadership and to be the face of a movement, to be an activist, has always been Martin Luther King Jr. And in a sense, I wish, you know, there was someone of his stature, someone who lived the life that he lived, someone with the faith that he had, you know, someone that that gave the message to the masses, the types of messages that he gave, you know, those types of messages. I wish that we had someone that would almost kind of be the face and be the leader of this movement. In my view, in my own opinion of this, there's several pockets of leadership. There's several people who have become the face of the movement in certain areas and for certain gatherings. But we don't have a strong central figure. We don't have someone to look at and say, I'm going to follow that person's words. I'm going to protest the way that that person protests. You know, the view that they have, you know, I really can adopt that. And I can faithfully follow it, knowing that they're responsible with their words, knowing that they're responsible with their message. And so I thought about that this week. I said, man, I wish there was someone like MLK, you know, that could just, you know, really ignite the hearts of those who are listening to his words. And so, you know, I spent this week reading a bunch of his articles. I read a bunch of his, you know, I read excerpts from some of the books that are on MLK. And, you know, I wish, you know, we could share. We had someone like that, that we could kind of look to in these times to kind of focus the attention on the real matters and the real issues and the real problems that plague our society. But alas, he is not around. And as of yet, I don't see anyone that can really fill his shoes. And so I was kind of lamenting that thought. And then something came to mind. And I thought, yeah, you know, MLK is great. He's great. But he followed someone. He was not the chief leader. He was not the head. MLK followed someone. He was a disciple of someone. And I thought about that. I said, man, you know, he really tried to impress upon a generation the teachings of Jesus Christ as it related to them in their social circumstances, you know, living through things that were happening in his community that were unjust, going through things that were violent, going through segregation. He was spearheading a civil rights movement, but at his core, and a lot of the principles that he taught, they were not his own principles. They were not created by him. He was following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. He was teaching a generation about the principles of Christ, what he taught, what he lived for. He tried to share and he tried to articulate, and in some ways he made it relevant and he modernized it, but he tried to teach people the values of Jesus Christ. He tried to inform the church of God. How do you respond to racism? How do you respond to segregation? What should the church of God be doing in this time when people are hurting? when there's violence in the streets, when it seems like the world is becoming more and more divided. He lived through such a time as this, worse than this, perhaps. But he was the leader that gave a voice. But it wasn't just his own voice. He tried to impart the message of Jesus Christ. And so I thought this week, yeah, you know, maybe we don't have an MLK. But maybe we can look to the source. Maybe we can look to his leader, the person that he was following, the person that we should all be following. You know, I know that our opinions might be different based on my upbringing, based on my background, based on my social circumstances. My opinions and my politics might be different than yours. You know, some of you might see Trump as your leader. Some of you might look to these protests and you might think, this is how I should live my life. This is what informs me. You know, this is what forms my worldview. And so you might have a different opinion than me. But as the body of Christ, especially in times of turmoil, especially in times of despair, in times of division and violence, in times where we can see a storm is brewing, it is so important for the church of God to say, I want to follow Jesus. And not my politics, not something based on my ethnicity, my skin color, not my allegiances to my economic group, and not my neighborhood, not where I live and what I've been taught, not the words of my parents even, but the church of God. At some point, we have to say, I want to follow Jesus Christ. I know that my political views might be this way, and my culture, my ethnicity, my race teaches me something. But central in our hearts and the guiding light, the guiding principles for all Christians, for all believers, should be the life of Jesus Christ, should be the words of Jesus Christ. The things that he's taught us, the things that he's shown, we should be aligning ourselves to those kinds of things. And at times that's difficult because it requires us to do things that we don't want to do. It requires us to admit things that we don't want to admit. It forces us to reflect on the lives that we lived in the past. And sometimes when you're honest with yourself, you'll realize my footsteps have gotten so far away from Christ's footsteps that when the world looks at me, they don't see a disciple. I don't reflect Jesus Christ. I'm just my own person. I'm just a Korean. I'm just a Korean American. I'm just a male. I'm just a Republican or a Democrat. You see, there's so many other labels, so many other things that you will align yourself with. And the problem is, some of you think that you're willing to die for that. Some of you think that you're willing to live and die for that. You form your worldview around those things. That should not be the case. That should not be the case for a believer. Because then those things become idols. We are living idolatrous lives. If we are giving our lives, giving all of our thoughts, if we are allowing ourselves to align with things that are not the word of Jesus Christ, the teachings of Christ, following in his footsteps. So who is this Jesus? What did he do? What did he teach? What would he be doing right now? In the 1990s, and I know some of you guys were not born in the 1990s, so stop rolling your eyes, youth group students. I know. But in the 1990s, there was a movement. It was like a Christian movement, and it was, you know, marketed very well. But it was like the WWJD movement. What would Jesus do? And it was a question. And it was kind of designed so that all believers would kind of weigh circumstances, that they would weigh lifestyle, that they would weigh responses and reactions based on asking themselves that question. What would Jesus do in this situation? If Jesus saw someone beaten on the side of the road, what would Jesus do? If Jesus saw you know, a community crying out because they suffered police brutality for generations and generations. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do when he sees some of the racial divide that he sees in this country? What would Jesus do to if he saw a people so divided based on party lines, based on ethnicities, based on how much money you make? You know, it's an interesting question to ask. What would Jesus do if he saw what was going on in the news, if he saw violence, if he saw people targeting police officers, if he saw looting in the streets, if he saw people beating each other up because they cannot agree on, you know, lifestyle choices, or they can't agree on politics, they can't agree on, you know, simple things. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in our circumstance? When Jesus came into the world, when Jesus began his ministry, there were so many expectations of him. There were so many things that the Israelite people had been going through. They described it as being persecuted, as being oppressed. They were strangers and foreigners almost in their own home. And the Israelites longed for a day that they would have their country back. And so they saw the Romans as their oppressors. They had to pay heavy taxes. They suffered a lot of violence against them. And so when Jesus showed up and people saw that his words had power, that his actions had power, that he was someone that could really stir a movement, they saw him as a revolutionary. They saw him as someone that they could get behind. And they thought, maybe we can get our country back. Maybe we don't have to suffer this oppression any longer. And so in many ways, he gathered a following, not just because he was teaching something, but because of the expectations that the world had of him. Because they wanted to be free. They wanted not to be oppressed anymore. They wanted their country back. And so the Israelites, the Hebrew people, the Israelite people, they looked to him and they thought, the Jewish people, sorry, they looked to him and they thought, if we follow him, then all the things that we want, all the things that we need, we will get. And he's finally the leader that can gather all the people together. And perhaps many were thinking we can militarize. You know, the only way that we will be heard, the only way that we can overthrow this oppressive regime is through violence. And certainly, that was a movement, that was a thought, that did happen in history. In the Jewish community, that is what happened. There were other factions of people that tried to bring about this liberation and to bring about this freedom through violent means, through war. They militarized. And maybe people were expecting that this day, in Matthew 5, when he gathered the people, when he walked with his disciples. And he's just sat down on a hill and crowds gathered. Why did they gather? Maybe they wanted to learn. Maybe they just wanted to see him. Or maybe they thought this was finally the person that could start a movement that could really overthrow the Roman government. And Jesus saw the crowds. He sat with his disciples and he taught them. And he began teaching them what we know as the Beatitudes, or what we call kind of also the Sermon on the Mount. But he begins to teach. And you get a sense that suddenly his message is not exactly what everybody wants to hear. Because he doesn't say, okay, this is the time for us. We're going to use our numbers. We're going to use violence. You know, we're going to fight till the end, till we get what we need. And people would have been cheering, maybe. People would have been willing, you know, to join in that movement. Of course, Jesus kind of begins teaching and he goes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That could have been a very disappointing word for those who had gathered expecting to hear something else. But Christ immediately shows that he was not concerned with the expectations of the world around him. He wasn't just their leader because he did what they wanted him to do. Christ had a mission. Christ was representing the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ was representing his Father, his Father's heart. And so it would have been easy. He could have gotten more cheers. He could have gotten more followers. You know, he would have gotten more acceptance from the world around him. He was facing societal pressure, you know, to join in on the movement. He was facing all these things. And in the face of that, he said, I will stick to my kingdom principles. I have to stick to who I am. I have to stick to who my Father is. And I have to live so that I can reflect my Father's heart in this world. And so he kind of flips over some of these ideas, some of the things that he spoke, you know, they were contrary to Roman value, right? The things that the Romans believed, the things that the Romans really put up on a pedestal, their code of ethics, and the things that they viewed as honorable and shameful. And he flips some of those things. He said, this is what it means to be blessed. You have to fight and you have to live for righteousness' sake. You have to be the peacemakers. Can you imagine people that gathered on that hill? They gathered on that lawn to listen to Jesus speak and they were ready to give their lives for a cause. And he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Put down your weapons. Now, that's not the way that we're going to go about this. That wasn't who Jesus was. He wasn't the revolutionary that they wanted him to be. But in fact, he was doing something greater. He was doing something so much further and more and beyond their expectation. And Jesus Christ didn't crumble to the pressures of society. He didn't crumble to the expectation of all those people that were looking towards him. Some people probably went home disappointed that day. But even in the midst of movements, even in the midst of kind of landmark periods of time in our history, the guiding principle, the guiding voice, the person that we need to follow, the person that we need to look to for wisdom, it's not Instagram quotes. It's not people that show up in our social media feeds. They are not our leaders. It's not the people that, you know, have press conferences and get to kind of speak on topics from very far away. No, the person that we need to look to and follow is Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you of his words. I want to remind you that sometimes in this world, you are blessed when you lose. You are blessed when you keep peace, when the world is telling you to fight. You are blessed when you mourn. That is part of our job. That is part of our responsibility to mourn with others. We seek the comfort of Jesus Christ when we mourn together. And so many times we'll give ourselves with our passions, with our emotions, with our energy, with our strength, with our voices, over to things of this world. This is not to belittle what is going on. The things that are happening right now are very important. It can be historical. It's important for the Church of God to recognize that and to stand with those who are oppressed, to stand with those who have been suffering injustice. It's time for the Church to start showing up in those areas as well, to be the peace, to be the comfort. to be the strength for those who are just tired and weary from being beaten down from generations and generations of oppression, generations of racism, generations of violence. It's time for the church to step up into those areas, but not with worldly weapons, not with worldly thought, not with philosophy, but we follow the words of Jesus Christ, the life that he lived, the words that he taught. Those are the guiding principles that are supposed to inform us in these times of, in these chaotic times. What side are you on? Where do you want to stand? I know where I want to stand. I want to stand where Jesus stands. What side am I on? I want to be on the side that Jesus Christ is on. And that's something that all believers need to say. It's not just being kind of moved by words that are spoken by people that you see in the news that are being covered by the media. But you have to weigh those words against the words of Jesus Christ. Is this person speaking kingdom principle? Is this person fighting this battle with the weapons of Christianity? The weapons that Jesus Christ would have used? Are they following in Jesus' footsteps? These are things that you have to consider. You can't just give yourself over to things because your emotion allows it to. Because you think, oh, that's right. Yeah, you know, more, this gets a lot of likes on social media. You know, this is being posted by all my friends, so it must be right. And that isn't the way to go. You have to weigh it against the principles of Christ, who he was, what he stood for, the words that he taught. We have to remember Christ's words in these times. Whether you support the movements, whether you're opposed, you have to search your heart and say, is my viewpoint one that honors Christ? Is the place where I'm standing right now on all of these hot topics, is this what Jesus would do? Is this what Jesus would say? Is this how Jesus would act? As I search for a leader, as I look to all these movements, I'm hoping that someone who reflects Christ would stand up and become the center point, to become the hope, to become that kind of linchpin that can kind of bring people together. That's what I hope for and pray for. But as we don't, in my opinion, if we don't see that right now, then our eyes have to be fixed upon Jesus Christ. His life, his teachings are what have to inform us in these moments. So if you would look at it one more time, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. You see, when we live according to Christ's principles, when we think about who he was, what he did, what he fought for, then yeah, maybe it's not the popular opinion. Maybe it causes you to be persecuted. But at the end of the day, I want to be on the side that Christ is on. There are some words that Christ speaks that I don't want to hear in times like this. There are some words that Christ teaches that you might not want to hear in a time like this. But as the body of Christ, we need to obey the words of Jesus Christ. We need to represent him well. Right after he says this part, he says that we are the salt and we are the light in the world. And one of the things that I didn't want to, you know, include that fully in the sermon, But one of the things that we need to think about is, if we are the light, what light are we shining? Whose light are we shining? What type of light are we shining into this world? If indeed this world is full of darkness and Christ calls us to be the light, what kind of light are we shining? Whose light? We have to shine the light of Jesus Christ into this world. Not your view. Not your opinion. And not your emotion at this time. You have to share and you have to shine the light of Jesus Christ into this world. Can we all agree that right now times are dark? You know, we have a pandemic that we're going through still, whether people want to believe that or not. People are still losing their lives. You know, we have the Black Lives Matter movement. We have people that lost loved ones. They lost their father. They lost their son. They lost their daughter. They lost their friend. They lost their brother. They lost their sister. You know, people are suffering right now. There's so much darkness all around us. And right after Christ finishes teaching about these things, things that were kind of countercultural to what they had been learning through the Roman values, right after he says that, he goes, salt and light. You are the salt of this world. You are the light of this world. If we want to be the light, then the church needs to start modeling the life of Jesus Christ. Then the things that he taught us, we need to start doing. We're shining such a weak light because we're not doing the things that Christ did, because we're not teaching the things that Christ did, that Christ taught. One of the things that I really had to struggle with this week was, you know, at the end of this, he teaches about loving your enemies. You know how difficult that is in moments like this? You know how many of our students would have such a problem with that? You know how many social media posts that I've seen where they try to advocate for that? And there's so much hate that gets spewed towards them. Because they're trying to model Jesus Christ in this world. And right now people are so angry that they're saying, choose a side. You know, don't pray for the oppressor. You can't pray for the police. Forget the police. You can't pray for these people. You can't love these people. We have to be careful about spreading literature like that. We have to be careful about the way that we think about those kinds of things, because at that point you are standing opposed to Christ. Because Christ taught that you need to love your enemies. Is it easy? It's not easy. Do I struggle with it? I struggle with it. Should you struggle with it? You should struggle with it. But at the end of the day, the word that has to come from all of our lips, with all earnest, all honesty, has to be, I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to be his disciple. There are injustices in this world. People are going through so much pain. There's so much darkness. I want to follow Jesus. I want to do what Jesus would have done. I want to fight for those who are poor. I want to fight for those who are oppressed. I want to defend those who are weak. I want to be the voice for those who don't have a voice. I want to be an ally to those who have needed one through generations. But I want to do it the way that Christ would have done it. I want to do it with Christ's heart. I want to love people not with my love, not with the rhetoric that I learned from social media, but I want to love people with Christ's heart. That's when movements have power. That's when we are representing Christ in this world. And maybe if the church would model that, then the world will look to it and that they would see a better way. They would see a unified voice. They would see people who are fighting for principles that speak about love and kindness, respect for one another, acceptance despite our differences, grace that covers all people. There's no Jew or Gentile, no male or female, nor slave or free, but all are children of God. All belong in his family. Maybe if the church, maybe if you and I started living that way, maybe if we started seeing how countercultural Jesus' teachings were and how difficult it is to follow that, but trying, putting our hearts into it, asking for the Holy Spirit to help us and to lead us so that we could live lives that reflect the life of Jesus Christ, then maybe we can make a difference in this world. Maybe that light will shine through the darkness. I wanted to end with this. Following Jesus Christ is difficult. And Christ reinforces that message in our passage today. You may be insulted. You may be persecuted. You may find yourself in a lowly position because you are modeling the life of Christ. But he says that's blessed. You are blessed when you put yourself in those shoes. When you put your feet in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and you find yourself being persecuted, finding yourself being insulted, when you find yourself being opposed to others, that is when you are blessed. Loving enemies. Loving, not hating. Acceptance, not violence, not division. If we start living the way that Christ lived, then we have hope. One of the things that I'm very proud of is, you know, our youth group students, and I'll close with this. You know, our youth group students who have identified a cause and they've identified something that they see as not right in this world, not right with our society. And our youth group students who can admit, you know, I don't really understand it fully. I've not experienced things to that extent. But our youth group students believe this is where Jesus would be. This is what Jesus would do. He would raise his voice. He would side with those who are oppressed. He would fight for life. He would fight so that people don't have to worry about losing their life every single day just by going about their daily lives in society. And our youth group students have put their voices out. They've acted. And the thing that I try to remind them, the thing that I try to give them as a guiding principle is, yes, fight. Fight and go with your passions. If you need to, then, you know, act upon the things that you feel inside of your heart. But do it while walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Don't allow that to overcome your faith, that becomes the guiding principle of your life. No, you can still fight on the side of justice. You can still fight for equality. You can fight against brutality. You can fight against racism while walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. These are things that Jesus Christ did already. These are things that he taught about. These are the things that he addressed. We can do it if we follow Jesus Christ. And it will be more effective. It will be more powerful. And so I extend a challenge to you as well. As individuals, you know, we have people of all ages. We have youth group students. We have Sunday school students. We have our adults who are all part of this meeting. We have people of different backgrounds. We have people of different ethnicities, different viewpoints. I hope today, the challenge that I give to you today, beyond your backgrounds, beyond your culture, beyond the people that you see as your leaders and your guiding principles, today declare, I want to follow Jesus. I want to do what Jesus would do. I want to follow his teachings. It's not inaccessible. It's there in the Word of God. You can see who Christ was, what he stood for, who he fought for. You can see it if you open your Bible and read. My one, yeah.